good staff, to other agencies and private sector. They're faced with, they're starting a new auditor class. They bring them in a group and give them intensive training and move them forward. They're starting a class of auditors shortly. Also, they're faced with trying to fill those vacancies of those experienced people that have left. I believe that they need to address that first before we give them more vacant positions that they have to fill and increase the expectations of them. So we are not recommending any rush to add staff on some potential gain in revenue. I think first of all, I think there's the whole issue of policy too, whether you just want to add staff to go out and increase revenue or there's a serious gap in some compliance or we feel some needed work isn't being done. Right now they have been given resources that they have to fill right now. They have to go out and get the staff. So we won't be recommending new staff for that. With respect to the tax gap and the performance measure issue, you have Mr. Warner from the Legislative Revenue Office came in and testified to that yesterday. He also offered up the services of his office, possibly during the interim. You will have that agency before you early next month, I believe, with the other legislative agencies. It might be a good time to bring that up with them. I think it's a worthwhile thing to look at, but I believe an independent group such as the Legislative Revenue Office may be the one to be tasked with doing the research necessary to come up with some sort of meaningful and supportable tax gap analysis, and maybe work. Then the Department of Revenue could work with that and try to come up with a plan to address it and possibly bring it forward, A, with a performance measure, possibly, but also maybe a package that would address it at the next session. So we are not recommending a new performance measure with respect to it, but we believe that one should be considered and going forward, but that the information or the data on which the performance measure would be established should be in the purview of someone objective and independent like the Legislative Revenue Office, who might be better equipped to develop the data. So that's my long-winded way of saying that I haven't made any changes to the staff recommendations that we have passed out, either with respect to the recommendations to the agency operation or to key performance measures. But I think the thing should be considered going forward, particularly with the tax gap and discussion that was brought forward yesterday.
Can I pick up and interrupt you a little bit if you're completed on that, Dallas?
Yes, I can.
And suggest where the chair is at on this. I agree with Dallas. We've had conversations, and I've had conversations with the agency on this. Actually, in relationship to this tax gap or potentially uncollected revenue that should be part of the income stream in the state, it's my plan to approach legislative leadership, both on the House and with Senator Johnson's help on the Senate side, and ask legislative leadership to make this a priority item for the interim period, with the suggestion of that revenue is has offered their legislative revenue has offered their expertise for us in looking at and working at this problem. In relationship to to Representative Edwards, sorry, I didn't mean for the demotion there. Representative Edwards, position on a measurement, a key performance measure. There are some issues and problems, especially with the vagueness of exactly how much is out there that we might tie a measurable objective to. And one of the things that would be my intention for the interim group, whoever that might be, if I can persuade leadership to proceed in that direction, that the interim group look at and try to define that so that there is some way we can tie down a measurement, an object, key measurement objective, so that we will be able to have something quantified that we can look at in future years in the legislature in relationship to that issue. So that's at least what my plan is for it, and I'm hoping for the support of both the senators and the representatives as we deal with our respective leadership groups to be supportive of that. If you get any questions or ask if they are ask you for any of your positions on it, and that of course would be with co-chairs too on that. So. Thank you. Please, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was important. Please go ahead.
Okay. Then I will move forward with my specific recommendations with respect to the budget. You have received the memo. And the first, I was just going to go by the various option packages. You're aware of the co-chair's budget. We assumed we're starting with the essential budget level and recommending that. The first policy option package was the modernization of payment processing equipment. We're recommending approval of that package with an adjustment, though, for some reduction for anticipated savings. General fund reduction of $88,356 and another funds reduction of $8,162 for two. If you'll remember from those of you that took the tour, they talked about the payment processing in the outlying the satellite and branch offices had to be everything had to be transported with armored car service and checks to central office. This equipment will enable them to make the deposits at those and at those branches and alleviate the need for the armored car service. So we've got that cost, and we're recommending that cost be taken out of the budget. Also, there was a discussion about whether leasing two at the very beginning was absolutely essential, or could you keep one on as a backup? And the department looked at that and thought about it, and we discussed postponing leasing the second one for a year to see if the backup would work, if there were problems. And so we took out we're recommending taking out $66,600 of general fund and other funds for that. And this would then allow them to evaluate the use and see if it's still needed. But at least we would have some savings, $66,600. So that's the recommendation with that. Again, approval of the package with those modest reductions for some timing of leases, as well as reducing the need for the armored car service.
Mr. Chair, are you going to be looking for motions on each one of the
policies? I would like to do that so that we're...
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to policy option package 132, the modernization of payment processing equipment.
Thank you. Senator Johnson moves the acceptance of the LFO recommendation regarding policy option package 102, modernization of payment processing equipment. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
Mr. Chair, just a discussion point, and I should have probably brought this up during the course of the hearing. I didn't go on the tour this time, and I don't. I'm drawing on my recollection of the tour from the last visit to Revenue. I don't know whether or not the department keeps an ongoing list of technology and modernization improvements that would be desirable. I mean, there's a lot of handwork in the building, and I don't know what other gizmos come on to the market that would assist you in the manipulation of the mail or the movement of stuff through the system. And I'm just looking for some level of reassurance that this modernization package fits into a higher level development of information technology management applications that might be available to you, and whether you have some kind of a running tally of things that would assist with the physical processing.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Susan Browning. I'm Deputy Director, Department of Revenue. And, yes, Senator Johnson, we actually, Elizabeth mentioned our agency business plan. And the agency business plan is where we capture the strategic initiatives that we want to carry forward for the next 4 years. And we also have in your packet the continuous improvement projects that show the things we've done and the things that we have waiting in the wings to put forward. Actually, in the area of the processing center and the IT area, we actually have a position that spends part of his time just looking at technology that's out there and trying to determine whether it would be useful for the department to pick that up and apply it or not. And so we do subscribe to services and, as much as we can, keep really up to date on technology, because that is a key part of our initiatives going forward.
Thank you. That's reassuring. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other discussion? Any objections? Seeing none. Sorry.
With respect to the policy option package 133, the electronic document management system, we're recommending approval of this package as requested. If you remember the tour of the storage area, and they're beginning a phased-in approach to electronic document management, and we believe it's an appropriate one, and are recommending approval of it.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to policy option package 133, the electronic document management system, and that is to approve the package.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson moves the approval of the LFO recommendation with respect to policy option package 133, electronic document management system. Is there discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
With respect to policy option package 151, this was staffed to verify eligibility for refundable credits. If you were, again, going back to the tour, which they talked about temporarily assigning some people from some revenue agents and some auditors and the like from different areas to, I think, a unit, I believe is suspense, that reviewed returns that had refundable credits. They talked about temporarily assigning 12, and this package was for 12 people. We are recommending approval of 4 full-time people to deal with this issue. It'll be a year-round process, not only during the tax filing season, but then outreach and education to educate not only the taxpayers but the providers of services that are eligible, that create the refundable credit. And we would like the department to develop some metrics for measuring the impact of the 4, rather than jumping in and replacing 12 who were temporarily at move with 12 full-time positions. Also not acknowledging the fact that they've got some current vacancies. We thought about whether or not to just reassign some of those, but those are positions that have been dedicated to certain purposes. These are different positions for a different function, so we are recommending these 4 new positions. It's the cost then is $480,550 general fund and $9,842 of other funds for these positions versus about $1.5 million that was in the original budget request. We have reviewed this. The department has had the opportunity to review our recommendation and has not objected to it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
I would be prepared to move the LFO recommendation with respect to policy option package 151, the staff to verify eligibility of refundable credits, and then I would like to leave open the opportunity for some discussion about it. I have a question for the agency.
Thank you. Senator Johnson moves the approval of policy of LFO's policy of the department's policy option package 151, staff to verify eligibility for refundable credits. And there are questions, Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Maybe I'm just feeling cranky about this morning, but the outreach and education exercises that are undertaken by a lot of agencies, I'm curious what you use as objective criteria to decide the efficacy of the materials. This has come up in the context of other agencies that do very expensive outreach and education, and by expensive, employing ad firms to develop billboards and stuff like that. And I'm just curious where the measurement for efficacy comes. How do you know when you put out your RFP or however it is that you're going to do this, maybe you're going to do it internally, but I'm just curious to know, are you getting bang for the buck with respect to outreach and education, and who gives the agency guidance to know where the point of education occurs? You put up notices in the post office, or you mail to every Oregonian. I'm just trying to figure out how you make a judgment that you're buying value.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, for the record, Susan Browning, Deputy Director, Department of Revenue. Our outreach efforts are done internally with our staff, and we work with the people who are seeing the problems, in this case, the auditors and the suspense workers and the revenue agents, to see what the problems are and what are the errors that people are making. And the outreach piece, we've actually been working with the Department of Human Services and been meeting with some daycare providers to see what kind of concerns they're seeing, either by their clients who are using their services or themselves as far as reporting. So our intent is actually to go out and meet with those groups, address the issues we're seeing, and then check when we see the returns, the claims coming forward, to see if the quality is improving. Because right now there's some issues taxpayers are having a hard time with understanding how to claim it. The daycare providers are having some issues with providing the right kind of receipts so that as people claim them, they have valid receipts that we will accept. So we have some real concrete problems that we're seeing, and we think if we can get out there and work with the daycare providers, help them give receipts that the claimants can use that we will accept, those can go right through the system a lot more quickly. So a lot of it's just addressing the issues that we see and then checking back to see if those problems are diminishing. So pretty straightforward process as we see it.
Okay. That's responsive. It would seem to me that on something as simple as a receipt, if you could, if the agency goes through this process and gets a template, and at some point in time you make the template available to providers so that it is a receipt commonly accepted by the agency, that would be a pretty easy fix.
Exactly.
These are what I'm trying to get my finger on. That's very specific, and it's got metrics that you can follow and trace, and you know that you're getting somewhere. I'm just trying to differentiate what you described from some of these broader, more generalized. The billboard that says "Please do your share, pay your taxes," and how do you decide if that's has any efficacy at all? And I think if all of your instances of outreach and education are as precise as the one you just described, that you'd be able to track whether or not you were making improvement.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, most of our outreach is pretty targeted. We really try to identify what the issues are and who's having those problems or those kind of concerns, and how can we address it specifically, whether it's trying to work through tax aid, helping people have the ability to get their tax returns prepared if they're low-income elderly, trying to address issues we talked about here with the daycare providers and the recipients, just trying to specifically figure out, as we're seeing problems coming through and the system's slowing down and people are claiming things wrong, they're filling it out incorrectly, or they aren't doing it at all, how can we really target that and go out and address it, not just waste our time and energy doing real broad-based things that aren't impacting the people who really need the information and need to work through this issue?
That's completely responsive, Mr. Chair, although Ms. Browning did say one other thing that, with your leave, I'd like to pursue. Are you able inside the department to see any patterns of tax preparers that are negligent in the work that they're doing? This panel sees the Board of Tax Practitioners, and I didn't know whether or not you have a level of scrutiny that is sufficiently drilled down that you could see a tax preparer that was clearly underprepared to be doing the work or was victimizing, let's say, a segment of people where English wasn't their first language, or was so habitually and chronically negligent in their preparation that you would have occasion to go to the board and say, we think we have a practitioner who shouldn't be in this line of work?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I can remember three instances specifically where we have identified a tax preparer who either didn't quite understand what he or she was supposed to be doing or appeared there was something going on there. And we found the Board of Tax Service Examiners to be very responsive in taking that information and working with it, as well as the Board of Accountancy. So when we see specific issues, we feel we have a responsibility to follow up on that because taxpayers are relying on this person to do a good job representing them. And if the person isn't up to speed or is taking advantage of them for whatever reason, we need to step in and do what we can to intercede.
Thank you.
Other questions? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the next two packages, I have one recommendation for, and these are relate to tobacco and cigarette tax administration and enforcement. They were two separate packages, the Jenkins Act tobacco enforcement. I'll give you a little bit of background on it. That was a separate package because we gave them additional other funds limitation to pursue these people who had purchased and not paid taxes on cigarettes during an emergency board action. So they had to come forward with a separate package for that. And then the other package, that was package 152. And package 161 was to continue the Tobacco Tax Administration and Enforcement Funding, which was went in their package when it was originally drafted, was contingent upon some other legislation. We are proposing instead approval of both of these packages. The testimony provided seemed to be fairly supportive of the value for the dollar received, not only from the enforcement, but then from reinforcing good behavior, that we're still getting value for this effort and in the administration and enforcement activities of the tobacco task force or the tobacco compliance group, if you will, consisting of Department of Revenue staff, Department of Justice staff, and state police. What we are recommending is that approval of these packages and that the funding be segregated and provided for in a separate section in the agency's budget bill. And we've talked to legislative council about this, and we're moving forward. They say it's fine. There's no problem with the issue. It would just appropriate these other funds directly only for the period of 2 years, and it would then keep this issue at the fore for every budget discussion. The other side of the ledger is two of those agencies, although the funding flows through the Department of Revenue, these are staff in two other agencies that are in a different subcommittee, that being public safety. So that is our recommendation, and again, approval of the packages, but that the funding be taken out of just the general other funds limitation provided to the department and be set aside in a separate section of their budget bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Galicia.
I have a question for Dallas. It says cigarette and other tobacco tax administration enforcement activities continue to accrue benefits to the state. What benefits would
money
be? Money. Okay, so this is what I thought. And, you know, okay. Just to come back to the uncollected taxes and the tax gap thing, I sat on the Revenue Committee last session. It was just really, and I understand what we're doing here. It makes perfect sense, and I didn't jump in before, but it's at this point, unless, I know Oregon is different, but if you look to other states that have had sort of tax compliance efforts, California accrued benefits to the tune of $1.2 billion when they employed some kind of tax compliance campaign and enforcement. And it's hard to believe that Oregon, we wouldn't probably accrue that much money, but there's no doubt that folks out there are not complying. So I'm really glad that you had mentioned already that we're going to look to leadership, because I think it's just a question of political will. And I know that probably everyone here has gone out to dinner with a big group of people, and then if you're the person who's got the check and you look and you notice that there's a shortfall and it's kind of not really sure, and that's, I think that's what's happening, and those services have to be there, and to the extent people aren't paying their fair share, the rest of us have to pick up the tab or we cut the services. So I just wanted to applaud your efforts and urge us to really go in that direction, because we can accrue benefits to the state. So, thank you.
Thanks
for that indulgence.
Thank you. You bet, Representative. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I would be prepared to move the policy option package 152 and policy option 161. per the LFO recommendation to approve both packages on the conditions that Mr. Winant explained to us. That's the motion.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Johnson recommends approval of or moves to approve LFO recommendation regarding policy option package 152 and 161, all relating to tobacco tax enforcement. Are there any other questions? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, with respect to the budget, my last two recommendations are with two policy option packages. They are numbered 263 and 264. The department really didn't go over these because both of these packages are contingent upon passage of other legislation, one an increase in the cigarette tax and the other an increase in the corporate minimum tax rate. Our practice is not to recommend approval of something that depends on passage of substantive legislation. It can be dealt with, or with providing budget money for things that haven't yet passed, for activities that haven't occurred yet in other legislation. So we are recommending, we are not recommending approval of those packages. Should those bills move forward in one shape or another, we can provide the funding in those bills.
I have a question, Representative from Wilsonville.
Yes.
Are we going to get a corporate minimum out of this session?
I don't know.
Thank you. That was responsive. I appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Judge.
It has been the almost consistent practice to do exactly what we're doing, to remove packages that are dependent on other legislation, and so I am prepared to move the LFO recommendation not to approve policy option package 263 nor policy option 264.
Senator Johnson moves to accept the LFO recommendation not to approve policy option package 263 and policy option package 264. Are there any questions? Yes.
Mr. Chair, does this mean the committee is pessimistic if we vote aye on this?
No, it would mean that the individual is bad.
I mean, we're being pragmatic.
Okay, I like that better. That makes me feel more comfortable.
Carrying out your fiduciary response.
I can support pragmatism.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I do have a burning question.
Yes, sir. Representative Crumble.
In the other legislation, the only thing that would change is the rate. Why does that increase the cost of collection?
Either or both packages, and the department is ready. They had it explained in the package, but I'll ask Ms. Browning.
Mr. Chair, Representative Galicio, you did have in your presentation book, we did provide information about the impact of those two legislative pieces upon the Department of Revenue as well. We prepared policy option packages which reflect the fiscal impact of those, and I'd be happy to talk about either one of those. Were you talking specifically about the corporate minimum, or which one were you interested in?
Representative Crummell, I think.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I believe it was Representative Crummell that asked the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And,
okay.
And I'm just wondering why, and I realize it's probably a moot point at this point because we're not approving these packages, but having them wrapped up into other bills then is substantive bills. I'm just trying to figure out that since the only thing that is going to that increases is the rate, why that increases cost to collect it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Crumley, we're talking about the rate of the corporate minimum tax?
No, we're talking about the
cigarette.
We're talking about 263 and 264, the one that we're not going to do. I guess 264 is a corporate minimum tax.
Yeah, 263 is what he's addressing.
263, which
right.
is the increase in the other tobacco. As we saw this one, we are concerned that there's a couple pieces that are in here. And I think on page 90 and 91, you can see a little bit of what we've included in here as well. But we oversee the taxes, and we would implement a floor tax, which basically goes through and does an inventory with the retailers to make sure that they've got properly taxed product on the floor so that they're not, that they're paying the taxes. Because the cigarette tax, I think as we've had a discussion about it, actually has little tax stamps on them. So we'd go through and we'd look at that, make sure that they have the product on the floor that's correct. We would also change the current cigarette tax stamp, so there's some costs in that to deter counterfeiting of that, because at the higher rate, we are concerned about compliance. So we were looking at this from a compliance perspective about what we can do as the Department of Revenue to ensure you're getting as much money from this as you possibly can. And then we would also continue our work with the Internet and beef that up, because we feel with the higher rate, there's potential for consumers to really go to the Internet. So they need to be deterred from doing that. I think you heard from the Tobacco Task Force partners about the work on that, where we get information and we actually bill consumers for the amount of taxes that they haven't paid by going to the Internet. We would also go out and audit distributors of other tobacco products. The task force members talked about that, but other tobacco products are challenging because they don't have any indicia. There's not a way to tell whether or not this tax has been paid on a product, on a can of snus or something like that, like there is on your cigarettes. If you look at the cigarettes, you can see the tax stamp, so it's pretty easy to see whether or not the taxes have been paid. If you pick up loose tobacco or cans of snuff, you don't see that. There's no way, there's no marking on those. So the way to ensure compliance of that is pretty labor-intensive. We actually go out and audit the distributors to see that they're doing it correctly and paying the taxes on the wholesale price. And then also, we want to be out in the field a lot more so that it's obvious that the department and the state is taking it seriously, and we are trying to work as hard as we can to ensure compliance with the new rate. So those are the pieces that we were looking at, and that's why we put in a fiscal impact on that. Is to we have a couple of performance measures we provided to you as well that we would propose if this does go forward, and we would be reporting back to you on those. Those would be internal measures. But percentage of retail cigarettes examined that have a valid Oregon cigarette tax stamp, and a percentage of the retailers who are in compliance with the cigarette and tobacco tax laws.
I find it interesting, Mr. Chair, because all of the things that Ms. Braddock described, aren't those already things that are being done? Aren't they already being done?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, they are already being done at a lesser level. But when we see the cigarette tax and the other tobacco tax increase to by the 84.5 cents, we have concern that that will increase noncompliance. It will raise the rate to a level that we expect there to be more challenges for the department. So we were looking at it as far as trying to be good stewards and responding to that increased incentive to not comply, to go to the Internet, to go to other sources of those products, and we wanted to be prepared to address those. A couple of the pieces are not currently in place that we have. I mentioned the floor tax. We don't do that unless there's a substantial increase in the tax rate, and we have no plans to modify the tax stamp at this time. So those would be new pieces that we would be doing.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Further questions? Senator Johnson.
As long as we're on this line and Ms. Browning is here, I recall from last session that you had a couple of extremely high-profile cases going that were actually in litigation, if my memory serves me correctly, with respect to distributors of tobacco products. Have those resolved?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I'm not intimately involved with the compliance end of it with the State Police and Department of Justice, but I know one of them, Willamette Valley Distributors, was the one we talked about, and that has been resolved. Actually, that one's concluded. There are several more that are working their way through the process, and I think our task force partners mentioned about some of those, but they aggressively push those forward and work to get them resolved through prosecution.
Willamette
Valley Distributing, Senator Johnson, is the one we talked about last biennium, and that was a real major non-compliance issue. That was one of the major distributors.
And other than resolving the case, was there precedent set with respect to any Was there something instructive that came out of the lawsuit other than the resolution to the lawsuit? There seemed to have been, in my recollection, I'm drawing on some vagaries about interpretation. I mean, is it crystal clear now? Or was that just the defendant's version of the story that there was lack of clarity?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I can't quite recall that piece of it. I know
that's okay. I can't either. It's resolved. I guess that's the
thing. Resolved, and we did get proceeds back from the company.
Great.
And,
good. Thank you.
It was a big deterrent effect, I think, at that time anyway, to see the state go after and deal with an issue of noncompliance of that size. So that was pretty effective. And that's what we're talking about here. As we see things come up, we need to be prepared to nip them in the bud.
Thank you.
So speak.
Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair Jensen. My support of this recommendation really reflects my optimism that this legislature will not impose new taxes, particularly in view of the fact that we have plenty of revenue for EBL plus about $500 million more. And it also reflects my optimism that maybe we should be looking to collect the taxes that are currently owed before we produce new taxes.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions? Is there any opposition? Opposed? No, so are.
Okay. To wrap up then, Mr. Chair Rivers, before we move on to the performance measures, that then gives us a general fund budget for this agency of $148,462,303. Another fund's budget, other fund's limitation of $32,342,631. And then we remain, because we were silent about it, about the multi-state tax expenditures that are just taken off the top and so would be still remain not subject to limitation or estimated at $231,313. I will move on then to the performance measures.
Do we need a motion to approve the whole thing, or is this all we need?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senator
Johnson.
I would. Mr. Chair, I would move that we amend the bill to reflect the corrected math. And I don't know, do we actually have a printed amendment, or are we taking the LFO recommendation on the math numbers?
Yes.
Okay. But that's all it is. It's just a motion to reflect the changed arithmetic.
Senator Johnson moves to accept the amendments in the technical corrections to the printed material regarding the numbers involved in this budget.
And to the full with a due pass.
And to the full with a due pass record.
My motion captured that we would move House Bill 5041 as amended to full with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Senator Bates.
And the only discussion I have is I'm disappointed that we're not doing this on April 15th. I've said that before. But for the good of the body, I'll go ahead and vote yes on this to get out of committee and hope it hits the floor on the 15th.
Senator, do you think that if we fail to move this on April 15th or 17th this year, as the case may be, that it would put both of our taxes in abeyance until we finally moved it?
Well, if that were the case, I would definitely go for that. April 15th at midnight, as I usually am dealing with these people. But since we're not doing it that way today, I'll vote with this now.
Thank you, Senator. Hearing no other objections, so heard. Key performance measures. Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the department had prepared in their budget document targets for their key performance measures. You've reviewed them. We've reviewed the performance measures, and the staff is recommending approval of the performance measures and the targets, with the exception, really, of number four. There was a discussion about the number of contacts. Performance measure four was taxpayer-assistant contacts. And the discussion was, well, that's an output, and it doesn't really reflect the outcome of it. I think there was some suggestion maybe number of contacts that were resolved in quick fashion and moved on, and the like. So what we were recommending, and the department was supportive of looking at refining this. So we are recommending we have no targets there. We put in there to be determined, but our recommendation is that the department should evaluate this, look at this performance measure with an eye of retooling it or rewording it in some fashion, and bring it back to either the appropriate subcommittee of Ways and Means when it next meets, or the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, with a proposed revision that revises it to reflect more outcome data from result of contacts with taxpayers.
Senator Johnson.
This might actually be an opportunity also to come back to your concept of a task force, and I recall a comment that Representative Edwards made yesterday about the paucity of performance measures that talk about maximizing revenue from collection activities. And I, while I'm prepared to move these and support the key performance measures with the addendum that the professional staff offered, I also think that as the task force that we hope to form on the tax gap question moves forward, that they might look at a performance measure that speaks to the issue raised by Representative Edwards yesterday.
For the record, so noted, and we would certainly pass on that recommendation.
Well, I would be then prepared, Mr. Chair, to move the key performance measures with the incorporating the comments made by LFO with respect to number four.
Senator Johnson moves acceptance of the LFO, or approval of the department's key performance measures as recommended by LFO, with the exception of performance measure number four, which appeared in our discussion earlier. I think it was Senator Representative Crummell that had, if memory is serving me correctly, concern about that. And the department will be working on that, getting it more outcome-based. And Representative Edwards' discussion yesterday would be taken into consideration as we move into the interim period, examining the whole issue of GAAP. So are there any discussions on this issue? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Chair Jensen. I also have concerns about the key performance measure 10 and 11. One of those, the 10 is the employee work environment, and 11 is employee training per year. I really don't think those are outcomes. I think they're management factors. And for that reason, I will be no vote on the performance.
Thank you, Senator. Other? Hearing no other discussion, and noting Senator Whitsitt's objection on this as an overload on the performance measures passed. House bill I'll carry to the full Ways and Means, do I have a senator that is anxious to carry this budget? Senator Bates.
I'll carry it for you.
Thank you, Senator Bates, for carrying the budget. And I'll carry on the House floor.
He's hoping it's successful on the Senate floor. I'll get a rebate.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you guys heard that, right?
If it passes the Senate floor, we all get more taxes next year because they're going to be diligently collecting them. No other business before the committee. We are...
Susan.